wise counselor tell us small touches, they're similar to the relationship glue. It's like whenever all things are falling apart, you can sort of get it back together with just small intentional touches. Touches that are just showing, hey, I'm here for you, even though our actions might not be showing that, or our words might not be showing that. This is my heart. Mm.
All right. Small things can make a big difference. Dr. Randy, Intentional Living Center here, along with Jennifer and Steven. Today, every Wednesday and Monday, we make it a marriage focus because it's such a big deal, making our marriages work to be intentional. So I'd love to have you join in. And I was thinking we're going to get to the rest of Caitlin's call here in a moment from Georgia about these small touches and developing a habit. And that's really what we want to get into, some really godly, positive kind of habits that make our marriage work. I found in my counseling work over the years, when people develop the right kind of marital habits, they have the right kind of marriage pleasure and intimacy and closeness. And so maybe you want to join in. What are some small things, some small habits, some things that are making a difference in your marriage? Pass along to the community listening in that's just stuck, hurting, help. All right. Phone lines open. Let's go. 888-888-1717 is the phone number. By the way, maybe you're listening and saying, yeah, nothing's working. You know, we're struggling in our marriage. So you're kind of looking for what are some small things that could help me break the inertia in our marriage and maybe help me be more intentional. Love to have you call as well. We're here for you. We're a big community of people who believe that God has something good in store for you in your marriage today. All right. 888-888-1717. Talking habits here. Caitlin, go back. Let's hear that habit that's making a difference in your life.
Something that's been so just helpful here recently. We went to counseling and we had a very wise counselor tell us small touches, they're similar to, she calls it the relationship glue. It's like whenever all things are falling apart, you can sort of get it back together with just small intentional touches, like caressing a back or like holding a hand, or intentional touches that are just showing, hey, I'm here for you, even though our actions might not be showing that, or our words might not be showing that. This is my heart. And it really has made a huge difference.
Oh. Now, when you talk about that, and by the way, I agree with you 100%. That's our greatest sense, our touch. Was it something you guys intentionally decided to do or just evolved? How did you come around to start making that a habit in your marriage?
Well, really, we didn't even know. It's one of those things, you don't know what you don't know. So it's, we went to counseling and she was just enlightening us on so many amazing points. One of these being the touches that we had no clue was even necessary in marriage. It was similar to like we would have like a friendship, you know what I mean? A very good friendship at certain times in certain seasons, I guess. And she was just trying to make sure that we kept that intimacy, to show good. That there is a difference between a friendship and a marriage.
So it really came out of you guys talking at counseling, hearing a great suggestion, and then start practicing that. And that's what's made a difference. How long has this been a practice now in your marriage?
This has been a practice for the past like 4 months. We haven't been married very long. We've been married since November. So we've got a short stride, November of 2019. So short stride here, but it definitely has been helping.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Hey, listen, yeah, you're on the right path and small things make a big difference. Listen, not only do they make a difference in a positive way, but small things can make a difference in a negative way. Misreading your spouse, saying something where the words have a certain meaning for you and they have a different meaning for them and it's not clarified, or it can set them off and you're wondering, what did I do now? And so small things can be big things. Let's face it, it's sometimes the small things that get in the works and can muck up everything when it comes to our relationship and marriage. All right, you're welcome to join us. What's a small thing that's made a difference in your marriage? What's a small thing that's helping you? Or maybe you're looking to find some small things you just want to talk. give me a call. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. We'll be right back.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
So how do you love someone who's an emotionally weak person? I'm not talking about the normal emotions that we have. I have emotional weakness, but when it becomes a pervasive problem to the point where you can't relate well with a person, you can't communicate, you can't get along, it creates a problem, right? Where does our emotional weaknesses come from?
In his message, How to Love the Emotionally Weak, Dr. Randy explains how you can respond in a way that's healthy for both you and the other person. And if you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, thank you for your support. You're making a difference. God bless you again. As Kurt reminds us, go to theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. We love you guys, and your support is making a big difference around here. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, Dawn is in Michigan with a question today. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Dr. Randy. How are you?
Good. Good. Appreciate your call. What's up? What's your question?
I was listening to you last night and then just listening to you today, and I was just the gentleman I was speaking with, it's like in your marriage, in your life, when you turn everything over to Jesus, and then you're just going through really tough, tough times, and you're trying to stay in that faith and that walk, and it begins with yourself and you're with Jesus, I understand that, but then you got to carry that to your marriage, your family. And sometimes when you just get tired and you just don't know what to do, what do you do?
Yeah, where do you turn?
Like,
yeah. Is this a marriage thing, a family thing, or a personal thing?
It goes with the marriage too, because you got to be someone has to be the strong one in the marriage to keep that faith going when one gets weak. And I understand that. And same with the family, because they all look up to you.
All right, so what you're saying is you're a believer and trying to be obedient, try to follow Christ, trying to be intentional as it were, and the rest of the family, not so much.
Well, my husband, he's walking the path with me now, but, you know, as a man, I understand sometimes it just gets hard, but he is believing in Jesus also, but then it's like the rest of the family too. It all goes hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And is there anything you can give to me that I could do to be more obedient, or is there something I'm doing that I'm falling short?
I hear your pain there. I told the staff today, I did a lesson with the staff, everybody we meet today is facing some hurt. And sometimes it's a little hurt and sometimes a big hurt. What I found is we kind of going into a hurt, coming out of a hurt, or in the middle of a hurt in our lives. Let me just bring it down to a basic thing here, Dawn. There's a Bible verse that says in Ecclesiastes that two are better than one because they have a better return for their work. It's a great word picture for married couples. And what that verse reminds us is when we try to carry the whole load ourselves, we just can't do it. We need each other. Even Jesus, the Son of God, picked 12 people around him to help and to share and to prepare, because he knew that he had his calling to why he was here. And if you look at people, the most successful people are the people that are willing to say, I'm weak in this area and strong in this area. I need help in this area and I'm okay in this area. And what I'd suggest, Dawn, because what I hear is from your voice is there's a lot of stuff going on, but maybe not clarity on what the singular problem is. So we can then put a singular strategy to work on it together. So bottom line, Dawn, God's with you. The sun's going to come up tomorrow. He loves you. It's not working now. That's okay. You need to say, and if your husband's saying, hey, he's following too, he wants to be a part of this process, the two of you sit down, and I would encourage you with someone who's objective and not caught in the middle of it. Good counselor, your pastor, but someone that you really trust that can ask the right questions to get the stuff out on the table. First of all, you have to identify what the problem is. Is it we're not communicating? Is it disrespect? What is it? Get the problem identified on the table, then make a decision to say that we're going to tackle this in Jesus' name. We're going to be intentional in getting after this. And if we don't know exactly how to get after it, we're going to get some people to help us get after it. If it's a counselor, or if it's a financial issue, if it's a medical issue, you go to the people who are smarter, faster, maybe more godly and more experienced to help you figure that out and then get at it. Because if you do that, Dawn, you can break the inertia, inertia meaning that you're stuck. You can break the stuckness. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes. We have an amazing church, amazing pastor. We have wonderful people standing behind us. And my husband and even his walk faith, he's doing amazing. It's just, it's great. You know, sometimes your kids that come with the kids can bring a lot of things into your marriage.
Yeah.
And
you think?
Yeah. Oh, I know that. We know that. And yeah. Just, what advice can you give, could you give to me so that sometimes my husband feels like I'm not standing by him, but I am standing by him. I know Jesus comes first, my husband and my husband. And but what advice can I seek to let him know that he is first, but I'm trying to teach the children to walk in the same faith.
Is this a blended family?
In. No.
Mm-mm. Okay. So what you're saying is he's doing something or whatever, and you have a little different approach, and he doesn't feel like you're standing with him in parenting.
Exactly.
All right. Remember, for parenting problems, it's usually not a parenting problem. It's a marriage problem. And the simple answer to that is go behind some closed door somewhere and say, okay, let's come to an agreement how we're going to deal with this next time it comes up. And we're going to be a force. These kids can't, you know, they can't knock us over. There's no light between us. We're together. We're standing strong. We're on the same page. That would be the best advice. You can do it, Don. If you can get that far, you've made a step to be more intentional. Dr. Randy here, Intentional Living, 888-1717 at our center live today. Carrie in Arizona, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thank you. How are you?
Terrific. It says here you've been married 43 years in a row. Huh?
Yes.
Wow. All right. What have you been doing? What small things you've been doing that have been helping?
Well, we both came out of a bad marriage, and there wasn't a lot of Christianity going on in those marriages. So when we got together and sat down, and I brought three kids into the marriage, he had none, but he raised those kids because their father wasn't almost ever around. But what we first decided on was our marriage is a triangle. God is at the top, and we didn't say our vows to each other. We set our vows to God with the other person being the instrument of those vows.
Mm.
So, you know, we've had a lot of hard times. I'm not going to say we have a perfect marriage. We do fight a lot. You know, 43 years, we're both older. We both have health impairments that sometimes, you know, gets us hurting to where we don't agree with each other.
Yeah.
But God told me about 10 years ago, there's something I was always doing that I wanted him to do, you know, do it for him. I wanted him to do it for me. And I walked in and found that, again, he didn't do it. And I was grumbling about, why can't he do it? Well, God came to me and he said, I can take care of that for you. And I thought, God, you can make him start doing that for me? And then I realized what God meant was, no, he could take him out of the picture. And he almost died of a kidney failure several years ago. And he could take him out of the picture and I'd be alone. And I thought, you know what? The small things don't matter.
Sure.
Accept the small things. You know, I do things that irritate him. You know, just accept them. Don't fight over them. And You know, so we've done really good with that. But probably in the five love languages, I am the person who wants to be held and touched and appreciated. And so when I'm really, really upset, I don't always want him to help me. You know, like one day I walked out from the dining room where the microwave was into the kitchen, done something. I had a very hot dish in my hand, and it not only went all over me, but all over the floor.
Oh.
There was dinner. You know, I was super upset. All I wanted to do was cry, and all I wanted him to do was hold me. Just let me get through it. You know that song, Just let me be man for a while. Just hold me.
Yeah.
So one day I found this plaque in the Bills, which is a department store that sells stuff cheap. And, you know, it could be a one-of-a-kind item. And it said, always kiss me goodnight.
Boy.
So for Valentine's Day, that's what I gave him. And there are times it's like, I don't want to kiss. You know, it's always me. I'm the one who, I've got a really calm temper normally, but with him, it's a little touchy-feely. And it's like, I don't want you, you know, that's your kiss goodnight. You know, after we say prayers for eating dinner, and then we'll kiss. And it's like, that's your kiss goodnight. I'm mad at you. But he will force that issue on me. He will always, wherever he's at, if I, you know, we have separate bedrooms because I'm allergic to cats and he has cats. I can't have him in my room at night. So he'll come back to my bedroom and he'll make sure I get my kiss goodnight.
Oh, you know, it is the little things, isn't it? I don't know about the cats, though. Come on. I mean, I'm just thinking for myself. If a cat were coming between me and my wife, I think, no. The cat is gone. in a nice home, right?
All right.
No, but I hear you, Carrie. Listen, the small things make a difference. And she reminds us, you know, the small thing. I think the reason the small things sometimes drive us crazy in a marriage isn't so much because it's a small thing. It's because we think that our spouse doesn't respect us enough to honor that small thing, right? My wife and I, we've been married too many years. I mean, not too many, but a lot of years, okay? And when we first got married, not long after we got married, I learned about the toilet paper thing, about had to go come over the top instead of on the bottom. I grew up with all brothers. We didn't care. Came out of the top. And she just kindly at some point in our marriage after the honeymoon and so on saying, you know, that would be helpful. And I've always done that ever since. I've done, even though it makes no difference to me, I'd make it over the top. And then from time to time, I put the little pointy thing on like you get at the high-end hotels when you go to the Holiday Inn Express or something. Hello, the little pointy thing just to say, I love you. I'm aware of it. Small thing. All right, let's take a break. That's a small thing too. I'll be back.
When dealing with an emotionally weak person, enter and exit conversations gently. That's a really practical thing to share with you. Because you're dealing with a person who's not going to take a lot of agitation when you want to talk to them about something. And you all know what I'm talking about. You have relationships with people that you can push a certain button with a word that you say or the way that you communicate and just blow this whole thing up. And it's important to understand what doesn't work with an emotionally weak person. Number one, confrontation is not always the best thing with an emotionally weak person. I'm going to go set them straight, or I'm going to confront them. Some people love it that way. There's some people, just tell me, just come at me, I'm okay, I can deal with that. Other people, you can't.
For an excerpt from the lesson this month for our Intentional Living members, thank you for your prayers, your support, thank you for standing with us. Boy, we appreciate it. It means a lot to us. Your monthly support goes a long way toward helping us reach more people for Christ. I've shared with the staff this morning what intentional living is all about. And basically, it's this. For those of us who are Christians, that our priority is to want to experience life the way God intended. And then every day we act on what we learn. That's why you got to be plugged into a great church. And a great church to me is a church where the word of God is being taught and some things you can learn and apply to your life. That's a great church. Not the edifice. It's not all the other things. It's really getting God's word. And that's important. And then it's important to start developing the kind of daily habits that you grow in. It's growing more Christ-like. It's not perfection, please, but it's growing to become more like him. As it says in Ephesians 5:10, to figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. That's really our message here. All right, we're talking intentional living. You can join us, by the way. What's one small thing that you've overcome in your marriage, that you're doing in your marriage, or maybe you're struggling with in your marriage, or maybe you have a question for me? That phone line is open live at 888-888-1717.
My spouse and I have been married over 30 years, but we have like almost no intimacy. I mean, I can do things for her like rubber feet and that kind of thing, and rubber back and whatever, but she does not feel obligated to do anything for me. She's very much in the punish me mode. The reason for that is because like right now I'm just not providing like hardly anything, just very little. I've got a lot of debt. She's the primary wage earner, and so she's just angry all the time in the morning and the evening, on the weekends, holidays, birthdays, doesn't matter, anniversaries, angry. I'm pretty much just asking you, I mean, what, I guess I need a miracle, a money miracle. But other than that, is there anything that you can suggest that I would do? God bless you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Have a great one.
All right. That's a big, serious issue there. You know, I found that when there's a lack of intimacy in marriage, I don't mean just sexual intimacy, but communication, closeness, all those things, it's usually either, in your case, it seems to me to be a symptom of a bigger problem. And sometimes it could be medical issues or people going through stress in their life, or maybe their personality is such that they don't relate to that kind of physical, emotional connection, which you probably all should know before you get married, because that tends to be how a person is. But in your case, man, listen, you know, money is a symptom. The lack of supplying for your family, that's a symptom. I think you and your wife need to sit down and just talk about what's going on in your relationship, and specifically what things can happen to share the load a little bit more. She's tired and probably feels a little disrespect. I'll tell you this. When you get someone who disrespects you, boy, for a guy, that's a killer. That's a loss. So that's something to work on in your relationship. All right. Talking intentional living and being connected together in your marriage. That's a powerful thing. Let me go to Lisa, who's just joined us in New Mexico. Hey, Lisa, how you doing?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Good. Good. What's a small thing going on?
Well, it's small, but kind of big. For over 30 years, my husband and I have been meeting with other couples. We rotate in our homes, and we've all met at Calvary Chapel here in Albuquerque, mm-hmm. and we go through marriage books. We meet once a month. We used to meet once a week with our kids. That was crazy times, but it was awesome, and our kids are very close to this day, but it was a big thing. It was a little thing we did at the time. It was a big thing in our marriage because we had the support. We're still meeting. We meet every month now, and there's five of us couples, and we just love each other. We get through the hard times. We've had a child loss and just different things that have happened in our kinship that we just walk each other through these times, and we go through marriage books, and it helps us stay on track and rekindles the flame in our marriage, and we've got the accountability, and there's nothing like it. And I pray that marriages out there will find other like-minded Christian, God-loving people to do life with to help you through these times. We're all empty nesters now, so now we're going through an empty nesting book, and it's just been amazing.
All right, 30 years, you said you've been doing this 30 years?
Yes.
All right, a little survey here. Five couples, 30 years. During those 30 years, did any of those couples divorce?
No, sir. We are all strong in our marriages. This empty nest book came at the perfect time because, you know, the ebbs and flows, and my husband and I are 40 years married, so we're all about that. We're the oldest married. The others are like 35, 38, and just right behind us. But the books that we've gone through have just been so powerful in our lives, and no divorce.
Have any of them indicated over the last 30, 40 years, hey, if it hadn't been for this, you know, with other issues, we maybe wouldn't have made it?
Yes, sir. Yes, absolutely. We've all attested to that. that it was the accountability and just seeking help. And you know, sometimes we blindside each other because we're mad at each other. We go to kinship and, oh, here comes who had the fight of the week. You know, that's sometimes our topic. And it's just been so good to know that we're not alone. When we are going through those times in our marriages, you just feel like nobody else is going through what I'm going through. But when you're gathering with other people, it just makes all the difference in the world.
Who initiated this?
Well, Calvary Chapel of Albuquerque, Pastor Skip Heitzig, he started kinships. And typically they're open to whoever comes and goes. But once we met this group, it was a few couples early on that started meeting. We didn't join till later. But it was based out of our church that we go to. And we just decided to kind of close it and not just let people come and go. But we just jived. I mean, we brought our babies. We had babies together. We've just done life together. And it's been precious. And we look forward into going into the next phases of our lives when we'll start losing our spouses. And just life happens. And we're going to be there for each other.
That's so powerful. I wish more couples, and frankly, it's hard for some people to connect, but to have that kind of deep relationship with other couples. And I ask you those questions because I already knew the answers in advance, and even though I didn't know them, because that's the way life is supposed to work. We're supposed to be in community. You know, I shared that verse earlier, two are better than one, but you know, five couples are going to be better than one when it comes to really talking about the stuff and holding each other accountable. We need that as men. We need that as women. We need that as couples. You know, trying to be the Lone Ranger, that just, that doesn't work. He even had Tano. He had Tano, right? Most people, you don't even know what I'm talking about, do you, Jennifer? You don't even know what I'm talking about. All right, I tell you what, we're going to, by the way, thank you for that call. Skip is a great pastor and is a great, great place there in Albuquerque. Tell you what, we're going to do this. I'm just going to leave the phone line open. We're going to record for Monday, all right, for our Marriage Monday. And we just want to hear your small things. What are some small things that made a difference in your life? Maybe something you're wrestling with. Maybe you have a question for me. We're here for your marriage. What you just heard could change your life if you implemented that in your marriage starting now. I believe it. That's worth the whole half hour. All right, I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. Thank you for your prayers and your support. We're here to figure out what pleases Christ and then do it together. Intentional Living from our studios and center in Tucson is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.